Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this April 27th, 2023, 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're joined by our good friend, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationship Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Jackie and I are going to talk hair today. I'm joking. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time. How have you been?
I am good. Just said to Pam, though, I wish we could get rid of the clouds and the rain, because it's just very depressing. That'll lead into our topic today of mental health, but our weather needs to change for our mental health.
While we do appreciate Mother Nature teeing us up with a topic and everything, it would be nice to have some sunshine out there. I know that we are going to focus on mental health today. I did want to make note of that today is actually National Teacher Children to Save Day. And I know another thing that we talk about with you from time to time is the importance of those things. So I just wanted to bring that up real quickly. And we I don't know if your ears were burning this morning. We were talking about you on the morning show this morning about that, but so wanted to touch on that real quick.
That I will throw in a thing with that. You know me, I can punt, but there is some really strong research around the fact that if you have any money set aside for a child when they go on to school, like literally even if it's $50, they are like 10 times more likely to continue on with something. Anything beyond high school. So I think that's the importance if we can teach kids and adults just making it a point to setting something aside. Even if you have young people in your life and you gift gifts, maybe even reducing the amount and, instead of giving them, $50 on a birthday, give them $25 and set $25 aside. And think about that. If you set that $25 aside for 18 years, holy smokes, they'll have a really nice gift, that they can use for anything else. So it's
being able to teach kid finances and the importance of saving, the importance of being a budget and that stuff too. You're never too young to be learning these things. Yeah. There's a reason that we have little kids to 6 years old have lemonade stands, and stuff like that.
And we don't talk about it. So I think, it's one of those topics that, like, we're going to talk about mental health today. Like mental health, we just don't talk about it. But I think it's gotten worse. Or I shouldn't say I think, I know. Research says it's gotten worse as we've switched to virtual banking. And so, folks, it's even less likely to come up because they're not getting statements in the mail. They're not having dinner discussions over, different pieces. And so I think that's going to have an effect on our youth as we, kind of progress over the next several decades of there's even less and less exposure. And that goes back to, again, the more exposure we have to things, more likely that you're going to have behavior change and you're going to be able to implement lifelong skills. So I do encourage folks to talk about it. And something as simple as that little piggy bank is vital. They do see you. They do hear you. So just kind of keep planting those small seeds.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate you improving with me there. Yeah. That was a good conversation already. Yes. Let's dive into Mental Health Awareness Month. That's where we're going to put the focus of our conversation.
Yeah. So May, next week, which I can't believe.
I know, it's just May. Crazy.
I'm going to strike it up to the weather that it doesn't seem like it's May. I literally today walked into the office and thought I lost a week. No, next week's not May. The following week.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I have another week somewhere. Yeah. But so May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the reason that we talk about it is the fact that we don't talk about it. Now, that sounds really, really silly, right? But in reality, it could be any mental health behaviors, it can be any behavioral health components. We just don't talk about it. And so we'll get into this. We're going to kind of quiz you. We'll do some stuff. But, it's very, very common. And it's any of the issues, whether we're talking about anxiety, whether we're talking about depression, postpartum depression, isolation. There's just so many components that are so, so common. Like one in five, folks. in five people suffer. It's so, so common, but no one talks about it. Mm-hmm. And so that is the whole reason. So actually, Mental Health Awareness Month have been around since the 1940s, a really, really long time. But in the last last decade, and especially in the last 5 years, it really, the focus is around, you know, let's stop the negative stigma that comes with it. Let's have conversations. Let's check in with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Ask those really brutal questions, you know, mm-hmm. how are you feeling? No, like, really, how are you feeling? I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but it's kind of a running joke in my family. My grandma lived to be in her late 90s, and probably for the last 20 years that she was alive, I'd say, how are you? And she'd respond with fine. She literally could be on death's door, and she would respond with fine, because she never said anything other than fine. Mm-hmm. And even over the phone, I could tell when she wasn't fine. So then we developed a fine scale. So how fine are you?
Yes, I remember
and
this.
So, so we've gone, you know, like, are you like an 8, or are you like a 1 or a 2? And at the time, she was on the East Coast and I was here, and I literally got in the car and drove to the East Coast to deal with something, because she was fine, but she was like a 2 on the 5 scale of 10, right? Like, holy smoke, something's really, really wrong here. But, and we can laugh and joke about that now, but I think that's many, many of our folks still to this day, of all age groups. It's not okay to share our feelings. And think about how many people you pass just in a normal day, and they say, oh, good morning, how are you today? Mm-hmm. They don't really want to know how you are. And you're like, everybody says, oh, I'm good, you know, thanks. And they could really be dying on the inside.
Yeah.
So I think it's this idea of, we really have to be genuine, and we really have to be willing to open up and ask even some of those more difficult questions. And again, I think the biggest piece of this is that, you know, how do we end the stigma? Is having conversations and recognizing that, you know, again, 1 in 5. So that's, you know, that's how many people in your family. Even if you have a very, very small family, that's still probably 2-3 people in your very small, you know, tight-knit family, let alone your office or your church, or, you know, the country club. Like, let's really start having some of these conversations.
I've shared this before. I grew up with this, with my mother and her mother struggling with manic depression and everything, and the concerns and how it might affect me or my brothers and sisters and that. And early on as a kid, one of the things that I would do is certainly, like, try to make my mom laugh, because laughter, well, if she's laughing, she's not sad. And feeling like, even at 6-7 years old, I have to fix this.
Right.
It's my responsibility to fix this. So I would try to do those things. And learning as I got older, she would be laughing, but it didn't change her mood necessarily.
Right.
She was laughing at that moment, but the next moment she'd be back to the sadness.
Correct.
And everything. And I remember being like 14, 15, and I think I was kind of frustrated. And like, I've been doing this for years and stuff with her and everything, and it doesn't seem like she's getting any better. And I was telling her, Mom, how can I fix this? What can I do what can I say to make it better? And her looking at me and laughing, like, not laughing meanly, but just kind of like at the folly of a 14-year-old telling her this and stuff. And I'm like, I didn't ask you to fix anything.
Right.
I just want you to listen.
Right.
Like, who knew how great of a gift that would be for every woman I've ever dated?
Because that is so true. Like, a lot of times we say that. So I teach adult mental health first aid. And one of the things we say is, there isn't fixing, but there is, I will sit with you. I will sit with you in this, right? We talk about, as a role as a first aider, of it's not your job to diagnose. It's not your job to fix. It's your job to come alongside the person and be there with them.
Yeah.
And it might just be sitting with you in silence, right?
Yeah.
Like, I hear you. So one of the other things we hear, again, and research tells us across the generations, doesn't make a difference if we're talking about a teenager, if we're talking about someone in their 80s, it's this, people want to be seen.
Yeah.
People want to be seen. And I'm going to say that again. People want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a society right now where we don't make eye contact. Yeah. We don't say hello when we pass someone in the street. I just was doing a presentation last week, and I gave that, it's going to be hard to describe, but I said, you know, in the courthouse, so I give myself a challenge every day that I want to make eye contact with at least 10 people, and I want to get at least 10 people to acknowledge me back.
Yeah.
Do you know that maybe 3-4 days a month I'm successful on that? Because people don't, and I know the courthouse is not a happy place, right? Most of the time you're there, it's, even people who work there, it's not like a joyous occasion. It's not a great place. But people look down, they shuffle, they don't make eye contact, they're sullen, they're in their heads thinking about all the other crud, right? But I'm so, like, I'm like stalking people with my eyes, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, oh, your hair looks fantastic today, or that's a great color green on you, you know, trying, and then they're like, oh, what? You know, they literally are shocked.
Yes.
Like I stabbed him or yelled at him or something.
Like
you
shook him. Like,
literally jump up and they're like, well, thank you. You know, because people are not seen.
Yeah.
And so I want you to think about that in the course of your life, no matter where you are, whether it, again, it's close relationships with your family and friends, or it is, you know, social groups like card clubs or churches, or whether you volunteer. It doesn't make a difference, but really make connections with people, because people want to be seen and heard. And it sounds so superficial, but it's so vital right now, because we do live in a day and age of technology with tablets and cell phones and virtual things and social media. But that doesn't mean that I actually really acknowledge you or people that feel heard or seen.
Right.
So.
In your experience with this and explaining to people, Jackie, about how important that can be, I hope that people are taking this as the gift that it is, because I think that most people, and I think this actually comes from a very genuine place of, Jackie tells me something that's bothering her, my immediate instinct is, I got to help, I got to fix this. And I think that holds some people back from asking, or the follow-up question of, are you really fine or something? Because, oh, well, I don't know how to help this person. I better just bow out. They'll be fine without me. You don't have to follow. You don't have to solve it or anything. Just listening, just sitting with somebody in silence, those things that you just touched on. That's the cure. That's the big magic bullet and everything. It's not complicated. It ain't that difficult. And I think once you take that into any of these conversations or into your day-to-day life, trying to make eye contact with people, hey, if it's uncomfortable for you, guess what? You got that in common with the person you're looking at, because it's uncomfortable for everybody. That's how we make these things more normalized. There was a time where I would get a plastic bottle and, oh yeah, I got to remember to recycle it. Now we just do it. Now it's just, you don't even think about it. Just throw it in the container and everything. We can get there in society. We can get to a place where these are common things. We just got to work at it. And it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. So in that same presentation last week, I was talking about connections and how we can make connections with folks. And I said, you know, if I look back in the last 24 hours of all the things that I did to try to make a connection, it might be something as simple as I pull up to a four-stop intersection, and I look at the guy across, and I raise my finger and kind of go like this, and he raises his finger, and he comes back at me. And that's a really powerful connection, because, again, I see you. I not just your car, not just that we're at the stop sign. I literally see you. And just something as simple as raising a finger, and we kind of do it back, or a head nod, you know. Yes, that is an acknowledgement, and that is a connection. And again, I think, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we did that, and we kind of gotten away from it. And it's really powerful to try to build those things back. And then again, model that for our younger generations. So there's been a lot of talk, you know, coming out of COVID about what is the impact going to be on our young people.
Yeah.
And we really don't know. And we do know that it's detrimental. It really is. And we don't know what those long-term effects are going to be at this point. But if we can model as adults those even simple things, and, you know, again, checking in with folks and acknowledging folks and, just being there with them, is powerful. Mm-hmm. And that is how we're going to steer, like you said, kind of back into what this, you know, making it a habit and just part of our society again. It's huge.
I don't want to, but we do have to take a really quick commercial break. We'll do that, just be gone for a minute and come right back and have more conversation with our good friend Jackie Carantini here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR. Our good friend Jackie Carantini here with us. Always love hanging out with you, Jackie. One of the things I love talking with you about is not only the subject matter we're talking about, but you always take different angles or different perspectives on things. I really appreciate that and admire it. We're going to do a little of that right now about mental health. You've got some stats for us.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of do it in a quiz format, because it's way more fun than me just talking at you.
Right.
So all good. So first one, how many Americans live with some form of mental illness? So our choices are 1 in 5, 1 in 10, 1 in 100, or 1 in 1,000.
I would say 1 in 10.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the most common guess. Mm. It's actually 1 in 5, and I alluded to this a little earlier. So, you know, so when we talk about any mental, challenge, it could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be some more specific disorder like schizophrenia or postpartum depression. So lots of things, but 1 in 5. So again, if we're talking about your immediate family, your circle of friends, that is still a handful of people in your very small circle that are dealing with something, and they've probably never told you. They probably have never even brought it up. So again, this is why we have these conversations, so that we can start, you know, bringing it out of the dark, shining a light, realizing that, yeah, we're all dealing with very similar things.
One of my biggest concerns, especially in the last couple of years, I certainly care about children, worry about children and stuff, but with all the focus on the youth and everything, I'm not as worried as I am about the people that are already, like, the people in their 50s and 60s and 70s that never were diagnosed with anything, that never even could have been tested for anything, because we just didn't have this stuff. We didn't have the information or the tests. And just by statistics alone, we have to have how many people out there walking around with autism, walking right. around with this disability or yeah. that, and we don't even know, and they don't even know. So it's a really important stat.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one, true or false, mental health is just as important as physical health.
Ooh, that one I feel is true.
It is true. Ooh, so there was a recent study.
I got the winning bell for yeah. that. I was just trying to have some fun.
COVID, so I want to say it was published in 2019, maybe 2020, from the American Cancer Society, which is a unique, very specific group. But it was a huge study, and they actually showed that the impact of mental health and even something as simple as social isolation has the same negative effects as, ready for this, obesity, smoking, cancer, all combined. Wow. Like the physical impacts wow. of that. So that something as simple as mental health and, again, like social isolation has those same negative effects mm. as some of those very specific chronic illnesses. Hmm. And so, again, we just don't talk about that, and that you can end up with, again, you know, making those chronic illnesses, linger more significant, stronger by not coping with our mental health challenges. Hmm. So that's huge. So what do you think is the most common mental illness in the United States?
Oh, I would maybe bipolarism.
I think you and I've talked about this. It is anxiety.
Huh.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, it is, about right now, about 30% of adults in the United States suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. And so that, again, if you think about your family, that's, you know, it's 1 in 3. That's yeah. huge. So are we talking about it? What are we modeling, on both ends of the spectrum? So you and I have talked about this before, but, my dad is in his 80s and, never noticed it throughout his entire life, but in the last 10 years, there's significant anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's changed as he's aged. But it's like, you know, and I just was talking to my siblings because we're trying to plan a trip. And my brother's like, well, I don't get it. Like, why can't he just get on a plane? Just get on a plane. I don't understand. And I'm like, oh, you do understand. Like, like, let's talk anxiety. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I guess I didn't realize. And I'm like, yeah, no, like it's there, right? So it's not just kids, and it's not something that you have and it's stagnant all the time. It ebbs and flows as we get new jobs, as we have new family members, as we change, maybe we lose someone close to us in our lives. Like it ebbs and flows, but it is there. And again, not something we talk about.
It can sit dormant for decades in a person and still come to life.
Yeah. And that's definitely one of those that I wish we, you know, and I encourage folks to have those conversations with your loved ones about it. Like, oh, you know what makes me really anxious? Like, oh, you know, I'm really having a hard time coping with blank. And then just open it up and see what everybody else says and, you know, kind of comes through. So just in my immediate family in the last couple of weeks, there were things that leaning more towards severe anxiety and then almost leading into some OCD things that I just didn't see James. Yeah. Like, I just, you know, and my daughter was like, Mom, do you not notice, like, you know, we're doing this, we're counting on our fingers. And you know, and I'm like, yeah, but no, I didn't realize that was your sign that you were super anxious. And I was like, oh, holy smokes. I teach this stuff. I know this stuff. Like, I'm certified in this stuff. I still didn't see it. Right. So it is a part of just being, we have to get to not to a point where we're not brushing it off as, oh, that's okay. That's normal. You know, and let's just have a conversation about it and acknowledge it. Like,
I had no idea that I was, especially with the way I grew up and everything. If there's one thing I count on myself about, and I know I have the evidence, I can handle myself under pressure. Yeah. My whole life I've been able to do that. And it's one of those things that I pride myself in. And I figure, well, pressure, that's just making a diamond. I can do that, no problem. And why am I struggling with my sleep? Why am I having problems with this? Why am I, you know, oh, they can't be tied together or anything. I don't have anxiety. I can handle anything and all that. Sure enough, after talking with you, one of the first times we talked about this, I come out of that conversation thinking about the audience, but I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, there's stuff that applies to me here, and putting that together and realizing, wait, you know, everybody has some type of anxiety. Almost everybody has some type of anxiety that they're dealing with.
Yeah. And again, it changes. It's not constant. That's the thing about behavioral health, mental health, is that it does ebb and flow, and it changes throughout our life. And so that makes it even harder for us to cope and know when we really should seek out assistance. You know, and I talk about there are different levels. So there's, you know, there's self-help. So there's things that you can do to give yourself that reprieve and make yourself feel better. So it might be, you know, yeah, we've had lots of rain and clouds lately. So what else, you know, you can't get out and walk the dog or sit on a sunny bench by the river, right? So what else can you do? So can you, you know, look at pictures of babies or cats or, you know, but things that still, you know, call and have a conversation with a good friend and, you know, laugh or sarcasm or tell bad jokes, just something again to kind of pull you back into it.
My go-to is unlikely animal friends. Like when you see a bear and a lion that are friends and there's video of it or whatever, it gets me every time. Like those videos always take me out of my head and make me laugh or whatever. Like, find your thing. Find your, and it can help so much. It can be a real gift for yourself.
Yeah. And so there are times when self-help and self-care is really important. And then there are times when that is not enough. And then you need to know when I need to seek, you know, professional help. And even just, you know, I pretty much everyone now, when you go in for a regular physical or a checkup, they're going to be asking you those questions. And now's the time, folks. That's the time to be honest. That's the time to say, well, actually, there are days when I just can't, you know, I can't get out of my funk. Or there are days when, I'm not sleeping. Or, my favorite foods don't taste good anymore. Mm-hmm. I really don't even want to go to card club because, I just don't feel like it. Yeah. Those are all signs, folks. Those are all signs of things that normally give you joy don't give you joy anymore. Or you can't even, you know, muster up the energy to do the things that you know you like. Yes, get in, let somebody know. And it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get a big diagnosis or we're going to send you for treatment. It just means that, there's something that's not quite right there, and let's see what we can do. Lots of levels.
Before we let you go, Jackie, because we never have enough time, I did want to touch on real quick, because I don't know if we'll see you before the 16th of next month. You have your financial class, the extension thing with Focus.
Yeah.
Just wanted to touch on that. That is, where is my money going? Tips for tracking your spending. Again, kind of bringing this all full circle with the day of teaching your kids finances day and everything. That is going to be coming up. I just want to let people know about that.
Yeah. So we are continuing to do our focus classes. And one of the things we know, especially as I work with all ages of adults, is you know what your big ticket items are, but you don't know what the little stuff is. So how do we get a handle on that kind of insignificant stuff, like, you know, getting a soda at the gas station, or, you know, giving money to your kids? Or it might be, you know, that you just haven't really sat down and thought about expenses that come up once or twice a year, like gifts or your car registration, and how do you track that and how do you add that up and then build that back into your budget? So
it goes so much farther, and you know, it can tie into mental health certainly and everything. Oh, yeah. That's
finances is one of the number one causes of anxiety. So I will say really quick as we close though, we didn't get to the 3-digit code. What's the 3-digit number that you can call if you are feeling challenged?
988.
Yes. So 988 was introduced last year. It is a suicide prevention hotline, which has been around for many, many decades, but is now connected to 988, so similar to 911. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week you can call. There's over 400 call centers throughout the United States that someone will be there and pick up. I always tell folks, if you haven't called it, just call it even when you're not and say, hey, this is such and such. I really just wanted the experience of what it's like to call. Can you walk me through the process so that when there is a time and you really need to, you feel comfortable with it and they are 100% okay with that.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, okay, here are the questions. This is what we're going to ask you so that you know the process. So
I love that idea.
It's good. And because I think, again, the more comfort, it goes back to exposure, the more times we do something, the more likely we're actually going to do it. So 988, great resource. It comes in Spanish too. They have multiple languages. So
you're a great resource. We appreciate you, Jackie. Thank you so much for what you do for our community and hanging out with us here on the show. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.